The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us, hour number two. And we always begin with our impact segment. 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. A breaking international news story. There have been reports of a massive, and I am emphasizing the word massive, explosion in Beirut, Lebanon. There are videos, scores of injuries, widespread damage. It's not good, and we'll kind of keep an eye on that, but I just want to be responsible as a broadcaster. That is a huge story, and it is a massive blast. I just don't know what I would do if I didn't love the Lord and if I wasn't a follower of Jesus during just what we're seeing, not only in our country, but around the world. Let me read a bit of an article. I don't know if you know who Heather McDonald is. She writes for the City Journal. She's a very, very intelligent woman. And I share this with you just to convey information for you to consider. And with what we're seeing more and more with censorship on social media, I think one of the popular sentiments is we need to pray. We do. We need to seek the Lord. We do. But for me, it just seems more and more undeniable that the idea of action is of the utmost as well. To do something. We had a caller who lamented that, specifically as it applies to the church, if more would lead, our voices would be heard. And there are definitely undeniable observations that there is an attempt right now to silence certain voices. Listen to this story. We were talking about Seattle and Portland and protesting. Are they peaceful? Are they not? What about local law enforcement? What about local government? So Heather McDonald's written this piece entitled, YouTube Censored My Talk on Policing. I'm just taking a pause here because as I read this, I'm going to try not to get angry as I read it. Okay. Heather McDonald writes, if your 12-year-old son goes on YouTube, he can watch a porn star giving a lap dance to a happily surprised young man. He can see nubile naked girls spooning with a naked male and frolicking in Las Vegas hotel pools. Your 14-year-old daughter can watch videos on how and why to transition to the male gender. Both your son and daughter can learn how to become an Antifa warrior under the tutelage of an anarcho-communist YouTube host. They can celebrate the fiery destruction of a Minneapolis police precinct during the recent anti-police rioting in the city, a conflagration the anarcho-communist deems the high point of the rioting to date. Conflagration. They can get tips on how to suit up for the further anti-police action with helmets, water bottles, and, of course, personal protective equipment. Yet your child can't watch a live stream speech on policing. Heather McDonald writes that I gave Thursday, arguing that the United States law enforcement is not engaged in systemic violence against blacks. YouTube has deemed the speech inappropriate for children under 18 and blocked access to minors. McDonald writes, I suppose I should be grateful. At least it's on the web, and it is. Oh, YouTube has initially wiped the speech off its servers entirely on the ground that it violated the site's community guidelines for keeping YouTube a safe place. YouTube's community guidelines ban content that, quote, encourages others to go to a particular place to commit violence or that incites violent acts against individuals. Far from encouraging violence, I had condemned the rioting and had warned that the ideological war against the police was leading to a tragic loss of black life as police backed off from proactive enforcement in high-crime communities. The host of my speech, the Center of the American Experiment, a Minneapolis-based think tank, appealed YouTube censorship. The company relented and put the live stream back on the web, but slapped the age restriction on it again without explanation. YouTube's age restriction policy lists vulgar language, violence, disturbing imagery, nudity, and sexually suggestive content, and portrayal of harmful or dangerous activities as factors that could lead to an age restriction. Yet none of these categories has any bearing on my talk. I use federal data to show that the claim that police are wantonly killing black men is a product of selective coverage by a politicized press and an elite establishment dedicated to the idea that racism is America's defining trait. There was nothing racy or incendiary about the talk, unless you find criminological research titillating, unlike the soft, pornographic, and anarchistic videos that YouTube allows on its site without age restriction. Last week, YouTube's parent company, Google, along with Amazon, Apple, and Facebook, were grilled on Capitol Hill about their market power. The mainstream media scoffed at the charge from Republican lawmakers that big tech is more inclined to suppress conservative viewpoints than liberal ones. Republican politicians' complaints about political bias are not backed by credible evidence, wrote the New York Times. Slate sniffed that GOP lawmakers presented, quote, questionable and often nonsensical examples of censorship, end quote. My speech is hardly the first example of heterodox opinion that has been burdened by the Silicon Valley gatekeepers, of course. The list of innocuous but conservative PragerU videos that have been age-restricted and demonetized reads like a satire of academic paranoia about allegedly lethal right-wing thinking. For now, Heather McDonald writes, my talk, called The Truth About Crime, Race, and Policing in America, is still available to consenting adults. Parentheses. Although who knows whether it will be pulled again, likely in the face of ongoing staff revolt of the kind that got New York Times editorial page editor James Bennett pushed out for running an op-ed piece on a federal response to the recent riots, end parentheses. Until videos promoting the Black Lives Matter movement and denouncing America's alleged endemic white supremacy and murderously bigoted cops start getting age-restricted or yanked from YouTube entirely, the conclusion seems unavoidable that the battlefield of ideas favors an ever more powerful progressive consensus that is pushing the country further apart, even towards civil war. End story. Heather McDonald. Right here in the state of California, there's an old expression, you get what you deserve. May or may not apply with the point I'm going to make. We have a governor. We shouldn't be surprised by the policies he is enforcing, enacting, supporting. Just in early April, in an interview, he was asked about the idea about a new progressive era and an opportunity for new additional progressive steps as it applies to COVID-19. Governor Newsom, quote, "Yes, absolutely. We see this as an opportunity to reshape the way we do business and how we govern. There is opportunity for reimagining a progressive era as it pertains to capitalism. The answer is yes," end quote. One might ask, has our governor used his emergency powers for maybe purposes outside the bounds of any public health threat? Only you can determine your answer to that one. So what do we do? I'll intervene one last thought. We'll break and come back with your calls. We have a couple lines open, by the way, 888-528-2557. It's an interesting paradox when one says something over and over again enough. Say, for instance, a lie, a blatant lie. If it's presented a truth, as truth enough over and over again, the masses tend to go, well, it must be true. In my view, we're seeing more and more of that with hydroxychloroquine and how the media falls all over itself to dispel any possible attributes, even though there's volumes of evidence of thousands of people whose lives have been saved, whose health has been turned around because of hydroxychloroquine. We're just supposed to put our mask on, be quiet, and wait for the vaccine. And many of us just sit there. Okay. I ask, when's enough enough? I put forth the idea of when you see something that is undeniably, blatantly hypocrisy, do we just kind of look the other way? And again, it's one thing to we don't have to agree on everything. This is another thing that's been whittled away. Somehow, if you don't agree with what's being pushed upon us now, we're starting to see censorship blatantly not even hiding itself anymore through social media outlets. What about disagreeing with somebody and really disagreeing, maybe even to the point of being argumentative, where you really get at it? And then at the end you go, look, especially those of us that profess faith in Christ, look, you're my brother, you're my sister in Christ. Okay, at least as of now, it doesn't seem like we're going to get any middle ground here. I still don't feel like you heard what I said, and you probably don't believe that I heard what you said, but let's go to dinner now. Outside. We can't eat inside. No, bad, right? We just eat outside. Agreeing to disagree. But my greatest concern is we are being lulled into being complacent, indifferent, to a point where we just become compliant and we just follow whatever's being pushed upon us. And I'm just at the very least screaming in some ways, look, that's not true. Or can you not see the double standard? We have a funeral in Atlanta for John Lewis, who gave his life to civil rights, wherever you fall on that one. At funerals, I thought we eulogize people. It's not what I saw. Turned into a political pep rally. It was despicable. But here's my point. Lots of D.C. elite were there. Supposed to be a 14-day quarantine, but that was waived for them. On the other side, Governor Newsom's about ready to release 8,000 prisoners who were exposed to COVID. We don't know, positive, negative. Just put them back in society. And yet you, me, we the people, those of us that work hard, maybe small businesses, we're just the peasants now. And again, as I began, do we get what we deserve? Because we're just going to sit and be quiet, or when one pastor stands up like John MacArthur and says, no, I'm not closing my doors, and threatening with fines and arrest and all of that, and we say, oh, good for him. But if my church was open up Sunday, I'm not going. It's not safe. I can't sing, wear a mask, social distance. We had a caller on the screen that wanted to know about social distancing. Why aren't we social distancing? Do you have any idea where social distancing is? Is this some health, medically approved standard protocol by which, I mean, I hear the argument against HCQ that there's not these studies, and it's, show me the studies on social distancing. Tell me about masking. Like somehow this is the way, even though Anthony Fauci early on, no mask, why would you wear a mask? In the middle of a pandemic, no, only people that should wear a mask are people who are sick, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know there's asymptomatic, and it's all over the place. But last thing, truth. Please know what God's truth is and stand for it. Figuratively and literally. We are in a battle here. This is Levi Lusco, who I had on last hour. He said what many of us thought, hey, when we first heard in March, surely by June, July, this would be over. Saw a quote attributed to Governor Newsom. He goes, oh, it's going to be at least a year. It's going to be around for a year. Really? How do you know that? 888-528-2557. What I want to do is break early. Do I have a spot here, Will? I think I do, don't I? No, next one. We're going to break a little early, come back with many calls. I want to play an audio clip as well. And we will push forth. All your calls are welcome. If you can't get through, we do have a full board. You can email me at franksontag@kkla.com. We will continue with more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. On a very serious note, if you've not heard, there is an international news story breaking. There are reports of a massive explosion in Beirut, Lebanon. And there is video that is horrifying to watch. And may we continue to keep those that have been impacted by this in prayer. My goodness, I mean, this is, if ever there's a time to pray, and it would be easy to lose heart. Like, okay, God, where are you in all of this? Because we are used to thinking, believing that somehow we have control, let alone any control in this life. We really don't. So I just implore anybody listening right now, if you don't know who Jesus is, love to have a conversation with you. And if you're not right with God, there is no time like the moment to really contemplate such things. Now, I know we can have discussions about who you think God is, who I think God is. Is it the same God? Maybe, maybe not. But these are challenging times. And yet God is not surprised by any of this. May we as followers of Jesus submit to him and serve him and be active by the power of the Holy Spirit. 888-528-2557. We've got a full board. I want to I'll start with who's been on hold the longest and work my way up and down. Dan in Orange County. Dan, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Yeah, I wanted to talk, well, when you were talking about Portland and Seattle earlier and the cultural wars that are going on, I wanted to mention two of your callers had mentioned, yeah, we need to pray, we need to pray. And I thought, oh, my goodness, if that's all you think we have to do, that's just so lame. We're so heavenly-minded, we're no earthly good. Of course prayer is important. We should all be praying. But that's a lazy way out to just think that's the only responsibility that you have in our civil society is just to pray. I mean, would we say, you know, I have four kids, but I don't know if I need to put food on the table tonight. I'm just going to pray that God provides. I don't know if I need to discipline them or educate them. I'm just going to pray that God will do it. That's not an excuse for inaction. You know, you need to pray, but you need to act. Those two people that just kind of said, we need to pray, I would not want them on my Christian team.
Well, in fairness, I didn't hear them say that's the only thing we're to do. That being said, I think your points are very well taken, and I'm grateful that you talked about taking action as well. Dan, thank you. Timothy in San Pedro. Timothy, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Timothy, are you with us? Okay, we're going to clear that line. I hope, Timothy, if you're listening and somehow you walked away, we do have two open lines between Dan and you. There are two lines open, 888-528-2557. It looks like Philomene in Granada Hills. You're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Okay. Well, Frank, I just wanted to say I wouldn't consider it a peaceful protest if 200 or more people came barreling down this busy, busy, busy street where I live. I would feel intimidated, threatened, and fearful. Frank, what would I do? I'm an elderly person with no gun, no weapons, nothing, no dog, no private security. What could I do? What could I do? I mean, I'm very fearful, and that's why I even don't want to stay here because of what's going on in today's climate, and that's what I have to say.
Philomene, thank you for the call. You would hope that there was a time when we said the term neighborhood. And I know this may be a bit Pollyannish, but you kind of knew your neighbors and kind of took care of each other, right? Neighborhood watch. If you don't know what Philomene was referencing, the 200 protesters in Seattle, you've heard about Seattle in the news, right? If you watch CNN or read the Washington Post, yeah, they're all peaceful. Nothing going on up there. Nothing to be seen. Move along. Everybody's peaceful. Well, over the weekend, 200 protesters went to the neighborhood of Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best. She wasn't home, but neighbors weighed in. These are all quotes. They were here to intimidate, scare people, scare children, yelling the most horrible things you've ever heard in your entire life. Children outside, protesters were asking them what schools they go to. Violence, intimidation. And I'll weigh into it. We've got some open lines, so I throw it out there from time to time. Let me share 2 minutes of this thought, then we'll take more calls. I was asked probably 3-4 weeks ago, am I going to talk politics on this program at all because of, obviously, the upcoming elections? My response then was, I think I'd have to be responsible, and as we get closer to the elections, sure. And if I remember correctly, my response was maybe, you know, end September, somewhere in there, we'll have some conversations. It's the beginning of August. All I can say is, if you don't see the writing on the wall here, I don't know what to tell you. But, and if you're one that wants this to be a Christian program where politics are not discussed, well, you know, we've got 80-some-odd other radio stations in Southern California. We hope and pray you'd stay with us. But we respectfully embrace your right to do whatever you choose, but I will be talking politically because this is an election year and we see an attempt right now to undermine law enforcement greatly. There's violence. There's vandalism. Don't even get me going with A.G. Barr when he testified last week and the attacks he withstood, saying he's an embarrassment, he should be ashamed of himself because federal law enforcement wants to somehow quell some of the violence that local politicians aren't interested in doing. I've stayed away from the terminology civil war, but this is very concerning stuff. And so that's a roundabout way of saying, yeah, we're going to talk about politics a little bit. And a lifelong friend that I know that we don't agree politically just posted this heinous picture of President Trump and all of this vile stuff. And look, vote him out. I pray we have a legitimate election. But really, Joe Biden, that's the alternative? 888-528-2557. Let me share one last audio clip, and then we'll finish with a round of calls and a commentary entitled Burning Bibles in Portland and Two Sentences Every American Needs to Hear. If you were not with us yesterday, you didn't hear this, more than likely. And I think it's important. It's an exchange between Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan and Dr. Fauci. And if you can get beyond maybe your own charged views of who's telling the truth and the pandemic and what's the answer, I just appeal to a basic sense of logic. When something is presented as truth, or at the very least, when there is blatant hypocrisy and one will not admit certain things, can we not at least agree, even if we ideologically disagree, can't we agree together and go, okay, we have to stand against things like hypocrisy or deception or the very things that are lies being called truth? Listen to this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Fauci, do protests increase the spread of the virus?
Do protests increase the spread of the virus? I think I can make a general statement.
Well, 500,000 protesters on June 6th alone. Yeah. I'm just asking, that number of people, does it increase the spread of the virus?
Crowding together, particularly when you're not wearing a mask, contributes to the spread of the virus.
Should we limit the protesting?
I'm not sure what you mean. How do we say limit the protesting?
Should government limit the protesting?
I don't think that's relevant to...
Well, you just said if it increases the spread of the virus, I'm just asking, should we limit it?
Well, I'm not in a position to determine what the government can do in a forceful way.
Well, you make all kinds of recommendations. You make comments on dating, on baseball, on everything you can imagine. I'm just asking, you just said that protests increase the spread. No. I'm just asking, should we try to limit the protests?
No, I think I would leave that to people who have more of a position to do that. I can tell you.
Government stopping people from going to church, Dr. Fauci?
Yeah.
Last week in the Calvary Chapel case, 5 liberals on the Supreme Court said it was okay for Nevada to limit church services. Justice Gorsuch said it best. He said there's no world in which the Constitution permits Nevada to favor Caesar's Palace over Calvary Chapel. I'm just asking, is there a world where the Constitution says you can favor one First Amendment liberty protesting over another practicing your faith?
I'm not favoring anybody over anybody. I'm just making a statement that's a broad statement, that avoid crowds of any type, no matter where you are, because that leads to the acquisition and transmission. And I don't judge one crowd versus another crowd. When you're in a crowd, particularly if you're not wearing a mask, that induces the spread.
It's a simple question, doctor. Should we limit the protests? Government is obviously limiting people going to church. And look, There's been no violence that I can see at church. I haven't seen people during a church service go out and harm police officers or burn buildings. But we know that. I mean, for 63 days, 9 weeks, it's been happening in Portland.
Right. Yeah.
Well, one night in Chicago, 49 officers were injured. But no limit to protests. But boy, you can't go to church on Sunday.
So what would Dr. Fauci, what would it take him to say, you know what, that's a really good point. It's not all the protesters. It's not an all or nothing. But yeah, sure. It would be safe to say when people gather at protests to the thousands, there's probably a large likelihood that the virus is spread. What would it have taken him to just state the obvious truth? But he doesn't. And so to me, it begs the question, why doesn't he go there? And I think the answers are obvious to anybody that has a modicum of intelligence. Here's a little more.
What was I don't know how many times I can answer that. I'm not going to opine on limiting anything. I'm just going to tell you.
You've opined on a lot of things, Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, but I've never
said this is something that directly impacts the spread of the virus, and I'm asking your position on the protest.
Yeah, I'm not going to opine on limiting anything. I'm telling you what it is, the danger. And you can make your own conclusion about that. You should stay away from crowds, no matter where the crowds
are. Government has stopped people from going to work. In fact, just in New Jersey 4 days ago, Ian Smith, Frank Trombetta were arrested for opening up, for trying to operate their business, their gym. They were arrested. But my bet is if these two individuals own this gym, were outside just in front of their gym, and all the people who were working out in their gym were outside protesting, they'd been just fine. But because they were in the gym working out, actually running their business, they got arrested. You think that's okay?
You know, I'm not going to opine on who gets arrested and who does not. I mean, you get where I'm going. I'm telling you, as a public health official, I say crowds.
Do you see the inconsistency, though, Dr. Fauci?
There's no inconsistency, Congressman.
See the way he jumps in? There's no inconsistency. By the way, he opined the other day talking about we should do more lockdowns. He opines about a whole lot of things. But even to say there's no inconsistency, so there's no inconsistency here. Okay, move along.
There's no So you're allowed to protest millions of people on one day in crowds yelling, screaming, but you try to run your business, you get arrested. And if you stood right outside of that same business and protested, you wouldn't get arrested. You don't see an inconsistency there?
I don't understand what you're asking me as a public health official to opine on who should get arrested or not. That's not my position. You could ask
no,
it as much as you
you've
want,
advocated for certain businesses. You've advocated for certain businesses to be shut down. I'm just asking you on your position on the protest. I haven't seen one. We've heard a lot about hair salons. I haven't seen one hairstylist who, between haircuts, goes out and attacks police or sets something on fire. But we've seen all kinds of that stuff during protests, and we know the protests actually increased the spread of the virus. You've said that.
I said crowds. I didn't say specifically. I didn't say protests do anything.
So the protests don't increase the spread of the virus?
I didn't say that. You're putting words in my mouth.
No, I just want an answer to the question. Do the protests increase the spread of the virus?
I don't have any scientific evidence that anything. I can tell you that crowds are known, particularly when you don't have a mask, to increase the acquisition and transmission. No matter
so
what
you don't
the
have a position
is.
On whether the protest increased the spread of the virus or don't increase the spread of the virus.
I'm saying that crowds, wherever the crowds are, can give you an increased probability that there's going to be acquisition and transmission.
But do you understand Americans' concern? Protesting, particularly according to the Democrats, is just fine, but you can't go to work, you can't go to school, you can't go to church. There's limits placed on all three of those fundamental activities, First Amendment activities, but protesting is just fine.
So the end of what Congressman Jordan says speaks for itself. Americans are concerned. Hey, at least some level of consistency here, right? And again, I circle back to what happened with the funeral of Mr. Lewis, God rest his soul. The elite think they're better than us. We have a governor right here in California, was handed a mansion cashed in on a refinance, millions and millions of dollars. But he says, we stand together. No. And I'm not just going to pick on Governor Newsom. There's a lot of political elite on both sides of the fence, actually. But what do we, the people, do? I think the time is at hand. What do we do? 888-528-2557. One more as we continue next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. I often reference a pastor who posts at a website entitled the Dennison Forum on Truth and Culture. His name is Jim Dennison. I'm going to read just an excerpt of a commentary he shared, which is entitled Burning Bibles in Portland and Two Sentences Every American Needs to Hear. You can find the entire commentary again at Dennison Forum on Truth and Culture. Activists burned a stack of Bibles in front of the federal courthouse in Portland Friday night. A statue of Jesus was beheaded recently at a Miami church. A recent faculty survey at Harvard University found that nearly 80% consider themselves very liberal or liberal. 20% say they are moderate. 1% call themselves conservative or very conservative. Unsurprisingly, 67% of white evangelical Protestants believe Christianity's influence on American life is decreasing. Two-thirds say their beliefs are in conflict with mainstream American culture. And yet this is a time when the evangelical message that we can have a personal relationship with a personal Savior is more urgently needed than ever. How can we make God's offer of redemption in response to our repentance more available and attractive to those who need it? Consider two sentences I believe every American needs to hear. When we view those with whom we disagree as our enemies, our sentiment usually becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. When we view them as members of the same human family and citizens of the same great nation, we can engage with them in the spirit of democracy in action. Consider these three biblical principles. Number one, God can use anyone, whether we think so or not. If God could redeem and use an enemy of his people like Saul of Tarsus, what could he do with someone who burns a Bible or beheads a statue of Jesus? Continue to pray for your nation and proclaim God's word with grace, knowing that it's always too soon to give up on God. Two, all we have is ours by grace. Dennison writes, I did not earn the right to be born in America rather than North Korea. I did not earn the right to hear the gospel from Christians who knocked on my door and invited me to ride their bus to church. If you know more about your Lord than those who oppose your faith, you have an obligation to pay forward to them the grace you have received. And three, we need the power of God to live as the people of God. Joshua followed God's message with his own. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. However, after Joshua and his generation died, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They abandoned the Lord. We cannot ask Americans to do what we are not doing. If we would challenge them to repent of self-reliance and live independence on Jesus, we must do the same ourselves. If we would call them to biblical morality, we must exhibit biblical morality as well. Otherwise, our words are only words. So here we are. It's a Tuesday. I have 2 minutes left. Another program is here and gone. I don't know most of you, don't know where you are, what your story is, how you're handling things. And I only have this vehicle right now, which is talking. My ministry, for all intents and purposes, is on standby, as is the case with so many ministries. But God is ever more so present. I can't help but think back to, for me, before March 13th, when I would use an array of excuses. I didn't read the Bible today, just don't have time. Or, yeah, I missed church last Sunday. Or, can't make that Bible study. Or, yeah, what about men's ministry? All these excuses by which we're so busy, so distracted. For some of us, we're confronted with almost an imperative now, where we can't use that excuse anymore. Although, some of us, thank God, are still working and still being very busy, if you will. But here's the last thing I'll share. Can we not all agree to be diligent and become extremely committed to our prayer lives? We had a caller say, oh, when I just hear people just say pray, it elicits a response like we need to take action. I agree with that in some ways, but choosing to pray is also an active step. Only you know what your prayer life is. I just pray that you would get right with God now. Cry out to Him as so many of us have been, just to help us with this day. Help us get through the day. Help us see God's truth. God, please speak to us. Please let us know you're there. And above all, I pray you reveal what your will is, your will here on earth as it is in heaven, and that we would stand together and surrender to your will and do whatever we can to literally manifest that will. Not my will, not our will, but your will, Father. Jesus, we pray to you right now. Thank you for the cross. We need you now more than ever. And there are millions of us right now. Lord, activate us. Give us your power by the Holy Spirit. Give us your truth. Give us your power. Tell us what we need to do right here, right now. And may we be given the courage by the power of the Holy Spirit to do whatever it is that you say with us to do. And love fiercely. May we love each other, yes, as our neighbor, but may we love our King above all with everything we have. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Frank Sontag Show.